Hello, and welcome to ICANN's quarterly stakeholder call. I'm Brad White, ICANN's Director of Communications for North America. Before we begin, I'd like to make a couple of quick points. As you may have noticed, this call is occurring at 3 a.m. UTC, which is considerably later than our previous quarterly stakeholder calls. The reason is that since we have participants from around the world, we want to rotate the times of these calls to better engage with our local stakeholders from around the globe. In a few weeks, our next public meeting, ICANN 57, will begin on November 3rd in Hyderabad, India. So we wanted to conduct this call at a time that is more convenient to the Asia-Pacific region. On today's call, we'll also hear an update from our Asia-Pacific region. This call is going to last roughly about an hour. Our agenda is going to be as follows. We'll begin with a president's overview from Joran Marby, our president and CEO. We'll get a board update from Bruce Tonkin, one of our board members. We'll have a policy update from David Olive, our senior vice president for policy development support, who's joining us from Istanbul, and Adil Akbogan, our vice president of tactical engagement. That will be followed by a management update from Teresa Swinehart, our senior vice president of multi-stakeholder strategy and strategic initiatives. Then we'll get an update from the Asia-Pacific region. Zhao Rung, our vice president of global stakeholder engagement and the managing director of our Asia-Pacific hub, will give us that briefing. He's joining us from Singapore. Then we'll end with an update from our chief financial officer, Xavier Calvez. Once the presentations are concluded, we will hopefully have time for a few questions. If you are online, please type your question into the box labeled Submit Questions Here. If you're on the phone, press #3. The operator will put you into the queue. Let me note at this point that while this call is occurring in English, it is being simultaneously translated into 6 additional languages: Spanish, French, Chinese, Russian, Arabic, and Portuguese. So if you are on one of those lines, same thing, just hit #3, then you can ask your question and we will then hear the English interpretation. Should we run out of time, or if you have additional questions after the session, please email them to engagement@icann.org. That email address again is engagement@icann.org. This session is being recorded. Links to the presentation materials will be posted on our website. You can also find a link in the Adobe Connect box titled Notes. Lastly, I'd like to remind you to please mute your computer and phones. And with that, I will introduce ICANN President and CEO Joran Marby. Joran?
Thank you, Brad. First of all, I'd like to thank you for all your hard work. A historic moment was reached on October 1st with the contract between ICANN and the U.S. National Telecommunications and Information Administration, NTIA, officially expired. As you know, this has no impact on end users of the Internet. They will not see any changes or difference in their use of Internet. For the ICANN organization, we are committed to a revised mission and bylaws post-transition as well as the rest of our work. I've received many questions. What does post-transition ICANN look like? The new accountability mechanism strengthened ICANN as a whole. The improvements will empower the global Internet community to act if they disagree with the decisions made by ICANN, the organization, and the board. But we are not yet finished. The ICANN organization will always strive to be more accountable and transparent. Continuing in Workstream 2, many of you are looking at issues such as human rights, jurisdiction, and accountability of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. I'm looking forward to hearing about the progress made in these subgroups during the Hyderabad meeting next month. Joining the ICANN organization at this moment in our history has given me the opportunity to think about the organization, the board, and how we support the community. As I've said many times before, ICANN is an ecosystem made out of 3 components: the ICANN community, the ICANN organization, and the ICANN board of directors. You, as a part of the ICANN community, set policy and give advice. The ICANN board reviews and adopts those policies and then directs the ICANN organization to implement them. This distribution works because of a strong system of checks and balances. So when you ask me what my priorities are for this year in a post-transition ICANN, I will tell you it is to ensure we operate according to and within our new bylaws and our revised mission, and to enact the priorities you as the community set forth. As you may have seen, I made a few minor changes in the executive team. I'd like to highlight the complaints officer role. He will receive, investigate, and respond to complaints about the ICANN org effectiveness, and will be responsible for all complaint systems and mechanisms across the ICANN organization. We will be appointing someone to this role, reporting directly to John Jeffrey. This person will work closely with the Ombudsman Herb Wayne. This is just one way I hope to make the organization more efficient, and I'm ultimately so have a greater transparency into those complaints. With that, I'll hand over to Bruce Tonkin for a brief update on what the board has been focusing on for the last quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jorun. From the board's perspective, I also want to briefly mention the IANA transition. In recent meetings, the board has approved steps to establish the Public Technical Identifiers, or PTI, entity that will actually operate the IANA function. And we also approved the transfer of the ownership of the IANA trademarks and the IANA.org domain name to the IETF Trust. Now that all the steps from the board have been approved to allow the transition, our role now shifts to overseeing the implementation of the new bylaws and ensuring that the implementation meets the expectation of the community. And we'll be discussing this with each stakeholder group at the ICANN public meeting in India. Like Joran, I also wish on behalf of the board to thank once again the many community volunteers and also the ICANN staff that have put in a tremendous amount of work into preparing ICANN for the transition. Next, I'd like to talk about the recent ICANN board workshop which we held in Brussels in the middle of September. The board has its own workshops, typically a couple of times a year, where we meet between the public meetings to sit back and reflect on how to make the organisation more efficient and to get briefings from staff. And a couple of the topics I'll just highlight in this call. One is the clarifying the role of the board and the ICANN organisation in selecting the locations where we hold our public meetings. So in general, the ICANN organisation selects the meeting locations that meet a set of criteria, and this includes that we regularly move the location of the meeting through the five geographic meetings. But from time to time, due to security or health concerns, we do need to shift meetings at short notice, and the board has decided that it will have a role in making a decision to shift a meeting location, but that the organisation and staff will actually select the new location once a decision has been made to move the venue. Also point out that the selection of meeting venues, it's a difficult balance between finding a venue that is suitable for holding a meeting of both ICANN size and complexity, because we have many parallel meetings rather than just meeting in one large room. We also need to look at locations that are convenient to get to and obtain visas for most of the regular ICANN meeting attendees. And also we want locations that will encourage new participants to join the ICANN community as regular contributors. So there are many factors in choosing meeting locations, and we try to balance all those factors. And on average, over the course of the year, have meeting locations that, that we hope that many ICANN participants can attend at least one of the meetings during the year. Another topic that we spent quite a bit of time on in the workshop in Brussels amongst the board and the staff was looking into what are the most important trends that are happening in the external world that could have an effect on ICANN, the organisation, over the next couple of years. And you know, we used a typical format. We broke into groups. We just whiteboarded a few ideas. And then we've asked staff to collect some information on some of these trends that we can then take to the community. And this trend analysis will then feed into our regular strategic and operating planning exercises. And certainly as board members, we're always willing to hear from the community any things that the community think that we should be keeping an eye on, or things that community members think may have an impact on ICANN and the ICANN community. Another topic of discussion was regarding the different types of ICANN offices we have around the world. Currently we have a headquarters in Los Angeles, we have hub offices in Istanbul and Singapore, and we have seven engagement centres which cover Brussels, Geneva, Washington, Beijing, Montevideo, Nairobi, and Seoul. And some of these are located where there are centres of government, such as in Brussels and Geneva, and others are located in parts of the world where there are rapidly growing numbers of internet users. An example of that would be Beijing and China. So moving forward, then there's obviously other countries that would like to see engagement offices in those countries or those regions. And so the board has requested a strategy paper on the selection and identification of engagement offices. And that strategy paper then covered the goals, how to measure performance against those goals of each of these engagement offices. Finally, another topic that the board has spent considerable time discussing is the process of community priority evaluations, or CPE evaluations, that are part of the new GTLD program. The board notes that the new GTLD policy requires that the process for the evaluation and selection procedure for new GTLD registries must respect the principles of fairness, transparency, and non-discrimination. We note that the community priority evaluation process is not an evaluation of communities themselves, but an evaluation of whether a specific application should get priority over other applications for the same stream. And we note from the applicant guidebook that a set of criteria were developed to identify qualified community-based applications while preventing both false positives, which would be awarding undue priority to an application that refers to a community that's construed merely to get a sought-after generic word as a GTLD stream, and also preventing false negatives, which is not awarding priority to a qualified community application. Now, ICANN has used independent expert panels to assess applications against the criteria, and the board and the staff have not sought to insert their own judgment on the criteria. We've considered the outcomes from the recent independent review panel decision on .registry with respect to the community evaluation of .llc, .inc and .llp, and we discussed this at the workshop. And the Board Governance Committee has been asked to re-evaluate the reconsideration requests in light of the panel's findings, and in particular, look into aspects of fairness and transparency of the CPE process findings. The Board has also asked for a third party to review the process by which ICANN staff interacted with the community priority evaluation provider, both generally and specifically with respect to the CPE reports issued by that provider. And finally, having reviewed the final declaration of the .registry independent review process, the board is reviewing all the current reconsideration requests that relate to the CPE process with respect to both fairness and transparency before we make any final decisions. So at that point, I will hand over to the next speaker, who I believe is David Oliver, Vice President of Policy Development Support.
Thank you very much, Bruce. This is David Olive. I will provide an update on the past quarter's policy development activities. As you may know, ICANN's policy development work relating to the technical coordination functions are formed and refined by the ICANN community through its three supporting organizations and influenced by four advisory committees and other inputs in a bottom-up multi-stakeholder, open and transparent process. Other internet policy and technical organizations are also involved in policy development. For example, the Internet Engineering Task Force and the regional internet registries. The policy update today will cover the generic name supporting organization, the country code name supporting organization, the numbers resource organization, and the address supporting organization for a more complete picture of policy development activities. And my colleague Adiel will talk to you about these last two groups. We can see the generic name supporting organization, or GNSO, highlights in the slide that's coming up. In addition to the topics listed on this slide, work has now been completed on the implementation of the final transition proposals of the cross-community working group on naming-related functions. Actions included the interim appointment of the generic name supporting organization representative on the Empowered Community Administration, approval of the liaisons and members of the Customer Standing Committee. Furthermore, Workstream 2 of the Enhancing ICANN Accountability is now firmly underway, with 9 subgroups looking into a number of different topics. In the first quarter, the GNSO Council validated the Cross-Community Working Group Accountability Budget Request and the Cost Control Processes, approved the proposed modifications to the GNSO Operating Procedures relating to elections and council motions, adopted its review of the Governmental Advisory Committee's communique for submission to the ICANN board, and approved the charter for the GNSO review working group that has been tasked to develop the implementation plans that were adopted by the ICANN board. The GNSO currently has 11 policy development processes in various stages of the life cycle procedures. Issues being addressed in these working groups are the new generic top-level domain subsequent procedures, review of all rights protection mechanisms in all generic top-level domains, next generation registration directory services to replace the current WHOIS system, and the use of curative rights to protect the names of international governmental organizations and international non-governmental organizations. As seen in the CCNSO slide next, the CCNSO, or Country Code Name Supporting Organization, kept working on the implementation of the Ayanna Stewart transition and the accountability proposals. This resulted in adoption of new internal guidelines and some updates of current ones. The CCNSO selected and appointed members on the Customer Standing Committee, the Root Zone Evolution Review Committee, and representation on the Empowered Community Administrative Committee. In the near future, the Council will also deal with the selection and appointment of members to a special review group. This group will be responsible for developing those guidelines and will focus on the CCNSO specific aspects of the empowered community mechanisms. In addition, some of the related work to the internal CCNSO coordination group have been completed. As to the policy-related work, after the public comment period closed, the CCNSO working group on the Extended Process Similarity Review Panel is finalizing its report. They hope to present the draft to the community at ICANN 57 in Hyderabad. Finally, and now that the Ayanna Stewart transition has become effective, the focus will be on the development of a CCNSO policy on the retirement of country code top-level domains, a key process for which there is no policy in place yet. This policy development effort will be combined with the development of policies for a review mechanism on decisions pertaining to the delegation, revocation, transfer, and retirement of country code top-level domains. The development of such a policy is considered a high priority for the CCNSO Council. The issue report is expected to be available and presented to the community at the ICANN 57 meeting in Hyderabad. At that meeting, the Council will most likely discuss how to best structure this process, policy process, and move forward. That completes the two reports. I will hand it over to Adiel, our Vice President of Technical Engagement, to give us an update on behalf of the Numbers community. Adiel?
Thank you very much, David. I will quickly take you through the update from the Number Resource Organization and the Address Supporting Organization. The Address Supporting Organization has recently appointed Maimura Kinuri to fill the seat 10 on the ICANN board. He will start his term at the end of ICANN 57 meeting. The process by which the ASO appoints those board members is currently under review, mainly to make it better aligned with the ICANN bylaw. With the transition now in effect since October 1st, the new service level agreement between ICANN and the RAR is also now in effect. Along with that, the IANA Numbering Service Review Committee, set up to ensure that the IANA Numbering Service Operator maintain the service level as agreed, has also been set up. From the Number Resource Organization perspective, and in line with the transition, still, the NRO is currently discussing with the other operational community on the IANA intellectual property rights and its transfer to the ITF first. An agreement has been signed by the Regional Internet Registry, and the process is underway. All these are happening openly, and you can all participate in this process by visiting the link provided in the slide. As you know, all the RAR developed their policy for number resource management through mailing list, but also at their regional meeting. We invite you to join those regional meetings to participate and contribute to IP number resource management policy. I will now hand over to my colleague, Teresa Swinha, to provide us a management update. Thank you.
Thanks, Adiel. Thanks, everybody. As mentioned, I'll give a brief update from the last quarter on behalf of the executive team covering the topics you see here on the slide. As you have heard, a key milestone was achieved last quarter when the IANA functions contract between ICANN and the U.S. NTIA expired. ICANN and its various stakeholder groups have worked tirelessly to ensure that all the necessary implementation tasks have been completed so the IANA functions contract could expire on the 30th of September this year. You've already heard about most of these items earlier in the presentation, so I won't cover them here. The proposals reinforce ICANN's existing multi-stakeholder model and are also aimed at enhancing ICANN's accountability. The improvements include empowering the global internet community to have direct recourse if they disagree with decisions made by ICANN, the organization, or the board. Now let's take a look at the IANA stats from the 1st of July to 30th September, just before the transition occurred. During the first fiscal quarter, ICANN processed 480 domain-related requests, 969 requests related to protocol parameter registries, 3 numbers-related requests, and 322 general inquiries. There was also one key signing ceremony held. Next, we'll take a look at how ICANN is preparing to roll or update the Root Zone DNSSEC key signing key. Our Office of the Chief Technology Officer has been focused on raising awareness of this critical process. Last quarter, the team gave 7 presentations at events around the world to help minimize the risk of any disruption to the DNS. Work continues to develop Matrix for the Identifier Technologies Health Indicators. Last month, there was a workshop held with the naming community in Washington, D.C. to discuss the Matrix to measure the health of the Internet's naming identifiers. The outcomes from the workshop will be published on our website in the near future. As you can see on the slide, there are more activities from the last quarter. As the organization focuses on its evolution to become more efficient and effective, we're also implementing or upgrading our systems and tools to better support ICANN's work. We are nearing completion of the Governmental Advisory Committee, GAC, website for a beta launch next quarter, which will replace the current Wikibase site. This site is the first to leverage our new web content management system, which will provide several benefits like making it easier to find what you're looking for, mobile access, and more. We are getting ready to roll out an enterprise resource planning platform, anticipated at the end of this year, which will help us operate more effectively, increase our reporting capabilities, and reduce manual work for the organization. This ultimately allows for greater transparency into the organization's operations. A service level agreement monitoring system is also being developed as a tool to measure how well the new GTLD registries are complying with Specification 10 of the registry agreement. We are currently in the quality assurance testing phase for system functionality and performance. Let's take a look at the compliance matrix next. Our contractual compliance audit program is an ongoing activity. ICANN is still monitoring the remaining 18% of registrars from the 14 September 2015 audit round. From the 17 May 2016 round, 80% received a no deficiencies audit report. In terms of trends, we saw a 30% increase in overall volume of complaints received compared to the fourth quarter last year. This is mostly due to the additional reporting volume of WHOIS accuracy reporting system. Even though the volume increased about 30%, the closure rate and turnaround time was not affected compared to last quarter. More information, please see the quarterly contractual compliance report published on ICANN.org. Now moving on to the Global Domains Division update. There were 135 new GTLDs delegated during the last quarter, bringing the total to 1,186. We also signed 4 registry agreements for a total of 1,239 agreements. With respect to contention sets, 218 out of 233 have now been resolved. Of the 218, only 15 resolved via an auction of last resort, generating net proceeds of just over $233 million. Let me take a moment to comment on auction proceeds and correct a few continuing misunderstandings. First, proceeds generated from auctions of last resort are segregated and are not part of ICANN's operating budget. Second, the multi-stakeholder community will develop recommendations for how these proceeds will be distributed. A community-based drafting team is currently working on a charter for a cross-community working group that will be tasked with creating recommendations for board consideration. As we have noted before, several program reviews are underway to assess the performance of the new GTLD program in meeting its intended objectives. One of those reviews, the CCT review, focuses on competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. Activities to support this effort that occurred last quarter included 1, publishing the Phase 2 Global Registrant Survey, which was conducted by Nielsen. Results of the survey showed continued stability across the domain name landscape. 2, commissioning a report at the request of the CCT review team to explore why more applicants from underserved regions did not apply for new GTLDs. And a survey of all new GTLD applicants about their experience with the program. 3, publishing a summary report of the public comments from the Independent Review of Trademark Clearinghouse Services. ICANN continues to work on establishing a GTLD Marketplace Health Index. We published a beta version of GTLD Marketplace Health Index in July. We will be holding sessions at ICANN 57 to review the findings of these reports. Move on to the GDD additional activity report. During the last quarter, a summary of public comments regarding proposed amendments to the base GTLD registry agreement was published. These comments are now being considered by ICANN and the Registry Stakeholder Working Group. As a reminder, the registry agreement includes a mechanism through which ICANN and the Registry Stakeholder Group can periodically discuss potential revisions to the registry agreement. In addition, we opened a public comment on a proposed framework for release of two character labels at the second level to provide registries with measures to avoid confusion with corresponding country codes. Additional activities during the last quarter included issuing a call for volunteers to form a privacy and proxy services accreditation issues policy development process implementation review team. On the international domain names front, we completed a beta version of a label generation rules toolset to assist the script panels with work that is enabling a multilingual internet, finalized the Khmer script label generation rules, and opened a public comment period on a proposal for the Georgian script root zone label generation rules. Let's take a look at trends in the Global Support Center. Case volume trending is the ratio of cases opened to cases resolved. There were approximately 2,685 cases opened, and over 98% of those were resolved. The case backlog remains steady. Status frequency measures how quickly we respond to our customers after receiving a communication from them. Our goal is to respond within 7 days to 80% of cases. ICANN exceeded its service level target during the quarter by providing status updates in approximately 88% of cases within the 7-day window. Resolution time target measures the amount of time it takes to resolve an inquiry, and our goal is 80% of cases resolved within 7 days. We exceeded this service level target during the last quarter. Approximately 94% of cases were resolved within the 7-day window. Let's move on to engagement activities and updates. This was a very active and important quarter for engagement efforts about ICANN's work and support for the multi-stakeholder model. The events on this slide are a sample of engagement activities. ICANN continues to participate in the Internet governance dialogues about the evolution of the Internet governance ecosystem, such as the Internet Governance Forum's Multi-Stakeholder Advisory Group, MAG, meeting and open consultations, the regional preparatory meetings on the World Telecommunications Standards Assembly, WTSA, and the discussions raised at the reimagining of the state conference in Strasbourg. ICANN also continues to support national and regional Internet governance forums. In the last quarter, this included preparatory work for the global IGF, as well as support for the German, Georgian, Danish, and Ugandan IGF, among other activities. In terms of broader stakeholder engagement in the last quarter, there were over 150 regional engagement activities. The chart on the slide breaks down the volume by region. As part of the new format of this call, as mentioned earlier, we'll now dive deeper into the Asia-Pacific and Oceania region to learn more about their work. With that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Zhao Rong, Vice President and Managing Director, Asia-Pacific Hub.
Thank you so much, Teresa. And thank you, everyone, for giving me the opportunity to share some updates during this quarterly stakeholder call, which is being held in an Asia-Pacific-friendly time zone. In fact, this is the regular time slot which we conduct our webinar and APEC-based web conferences. My update will consist of two parts, the ICANN Asia-Pacific or APEC Hub and community engagement in the APEC region. One of ICANN's three global hubs, the APEC Hub was established in August 2013, and we recently celebrated our third anniversary. In these 3 years, the APEC Hub, consisting of staff based in Singapore and remotely around the region, is currently 28 staff strong, covering 10 key functions which are listed on this slide. other functions, such as the policy team, might not have staff housed in the APEC hub itself, but the policy team services are delivered to the region through collaboration with the hub. Indeed, the APEC hub operates with Asia-Pacific stakeholders at the core. The APEC hub serves as a focal point for APEC stakeholders to ICANN and works to develop sustainable relationships with stakeholders. Our functions work to service the different stakeholders, such as registries and registrars, as well as to address queries from registrants, and we work to collaborate with the regional community to facilitate their participation in and contribution to ICANN and the Internet's unique identifier ecosystem. In October 2015, the Singapore office moved to a permanent office located at the South Beach Tower. This move reaffirms ICANN's commitment to globalization and positions us for long-term stability. The office has space that allows us to organize community or stakeholder events, such as capacity building workshops and forums for discussion on ICANN-related topics. I will now touch on our engagement with the APEC community. I will focus on two areas: our region's participation in ICANN, which has been increasing, and the region's contribution to a more secure, stable, and resilient unique identifier ecosystem. Through building stakeholder relationships and engagement programs, the APEC community's participation in ICANN's policy development processes, or PDPs, has seen an upward trend. Since 2013, there have been 5 PDPs on a range of topics. From the table, the percentage of APEC members joining recent ICANN PDPs has grown. Efforts that contributed to the increase in APEC community participation include awareness raising and outreach, specifically to stakeholders within the region, as well as capacity building programs aimed at increasing understanding of ICANN-related issues, as the lack of understanding can be a barrier to participation. One other noteworthy point not on this slide is the APEC community's participation and representation in the development of the IANA Stewardship Transition Community Proposals, which was significant. The region's representation in the IANA Stewardship Transition and enhancing ICANN accountability tracks were 17% and 26% respectively. Now, on government participation, the APEC Hub has well-established contact points with the governments in the region in terms of facilitating participation in the government advisory committee. There has also been progress as seen on this slide. Another highlight is our at-large participation, which has also grown, as you can see in the center bar of this slide. The DNS industry in the APEC region is also growing. Since the first new generic top-level domain, or GTLDs, were delegated in October 2013, 177 new GTLDs have been delegated in the APEC region, which means an increase in the number of registry operators in the region. And newly accredited registrars also grew from 159 in August 2013 to 228. Supporting a healthy, secure, stable, and resilient unique identifier ecosystem is a key strategic objective for ICANN. This slide gives some highlights of the APEC community's contribution to this area. Now let's start from the left. ICANN is the operator of the LRUT server, and LRUT deployment is critical to greater resiliency of the domain name system, or DNS. Since August 2013, by reaching out to and partnering prospective hosts, we have seen a 55% growth in LRUT instances in the APEC region, adding 17 new instances to the existing 31. The most recent additions were Myanmar and the Federated States of Micronesia. Of note for Myanmar, the LRUT instances installed were also the first root server instances to be installed in Myanmar. Deployment of DNS security extensions, or DNSSEC, is important in order to secure the Internet infrastructure by protecting DNS data. As you can see in the middle of the slide, in the past 3 years, 6 country code top-level domains, or CCTLDs, in the Asia-Pacific region have deployed DNSSEC, bringing the total to 21. Now, on the right side of this slide, capacity building, especially for the technical community, further contribute to the global unique identifier ecosystem as computer emergency response teams or CERTs, registry and network operators strengthen their operations related to the internet identifier systems. There is very high demand in this area as many of the economies in this diverse region are still developing. We have worked hard to try to meet this demand and in the span of 3 years have conducted 106 training events related to the DNS and DNS security. And this is across 58 locations in 27 economies. These events are conducted either at regional workshops or at the request of stakeholders. I will now touch on highlights of our recent activities in the past quarter. A key regional event that took place this quarter was the Commonwealth Telecommunications Organization, or CTO Forum, which gathered senior policymakers, regulators, and industry leaders. At the opening ceremony of the forum, our Vice President of Stakeholder Engagement in the Oceania region, Save, delivered a message on behalf of our CEO, Yoran, to thank our stakeholders from the Commonwealth for their contributions to the IANA stewardship transition and to encourage them to support future ICANN activities. At a session titled Inclusive Multi-Stakeholder Internet Governance, Save explained ICANN's consensus-based decision-making model and the audience discussed how to ensure participation from diverse stakeholders in the Pacific at national and regional internet governance forums. Now, ICANN readouts are the briefing sessions for the local community to get a readout of the most recent ICANN meeting. This is especially useful for community members who are unable to attend the ICANN meeting. ICANN readout sessions are community-led, in other words, organized by the local community with support from APEC Hub staff and conducted in local language. During an ICANN readout session, APEC Hub staff would give a summary update of the recent ICANN meeting, and members of the local community who attended the various sessions will share their takeaways of key discussions. It also provides an opportunity for the local community to highlight any issues that are especially relevant for them. For this quarter, readout sessions of the ICANN 56 Helsinki meeting in June were organized in China and Japan. I would like to take the opportunity to thank our local partners and community leaders, the China Academy of ICT, or CAICT, and the Japan Network Information Center, or JPNIC, for the successful readouts. We hope to be able to work with you to bring ICANN readouts to other parts of the APEC region. I had earlier mentioned capacity building as a key focus area for the APEC region to increase understanding of ICANN-related issues to facilitate participation and to help our stakeholders build technical capacity to contribute to a more secure, stable, and resilient internet unique identifier ecosystem. Now, on capacity building in the last quarter, we successfully organized the inaugural Asia-Pacific Internet Governance Academy. We collaborated with the Korea Internet and Security Agency, or KISA, as part of our cooperation under the Memorandum of Understanding we have with KISA. This program is also a collaborative effort at the regional level. Other partners involved in the Academy include the Asia-Pacific Network Information Center, or APNIC, the Internet Society Asia-Pacific Bureau, NetMission, and the Asia-Pacific Top-Level Domain, or APTLD. The Academy is targeted towards molding the next generation of Internet leaders. 40 out of 120 youths from around the region were selected for this rigorous 5-day program, which covered various topics such as the Internet governance ecosystem, internet infrastructure, new technologies, and of course, key ICANN topics. Participants also went through a facilitated mock ICANN conference as part of the Academy's program. The bar is set quite high, as participants needed to complete 25 hours of ICANN and ISOC online courses as a prerequisite to attend the Academy physically in Seoul. We can expect to see some of the Academy's alumni participate in ICANN and other multi-stakeholder platforms. I am happy to note that some of the participants have gone on to be selected for the ICANN Next Generation program, while others have been shortlisted for the ISOC's Youth at IGF program. Now, on capacity building in the technical areas, in July, we conducted a DNSSEC workshop in Hanoi, Vietnam. This three-day hands-on workshop was hosted by the Vietnam Internet Network Information Center, or VNNIC, and conducted in partnership with APNIC. We also held a at the APNIC 42 meeting in Colombo, a DNS security workshop in partnership with APNIC, and these are the participants, as you can see from this slide. Now, one last area I'd like to highlight is the APEC Space Web Conference. The APEC Space, usually held on the sidelines of ICANN meetings, is a community-led session to facilitate discussion of ICANN issues at the regional level. In consultation with the community, we agreed to increase the frequency of APEC Space sessions by taking on a web conference format. The web conference begins with a staff introduction of a policy-related issue, followed by community-led discussion. This helps participants to not only increase their understanding of the issue, but also works to increase their confidence in sharing their views. Since the first APEC Space web conference in April this year, the web conference has consistently been well attended. We see this platform as a potential practice ground that could help our community members participate more actively in ICANN and ICANN's policy development work. The most recent web conference was held in September, and the discussion topic is currently the new GTLD subsequent procedures. We will be continuing the discussions of this topic at the APEC Space face-to-face session at ICANN 57 in Hyderabad. The scheduled date and time are on this slide, and if you're from our region, we look forward to meeting you there in person or remotely. This wraps up this section of the APEC update. Thank you for your attention, and I will now hand over to Xavier for the financial update. Thank you.
Thank you, Jarong. I'm Xavier Calvez, ICANN's Chief Financial Officer. I will present our financial estimates for the first quarter of fiscal year 17, running from July 2016 to September 2016. As we are in the process of finalizing the September results, the information presented reflects estimated data for Q1 FY17 compared to our current year budget and to last year's quarterly data. We will start with an overview of ICANN's operations financials for the quarter. Overall, ICANN operations financial position reflects an excess of funding over expenses of $5 million compared to a budgeted excess of $1 million. This higher excess than planned is resulting from baseline expenses below budget by $5 million and higher costs for the INS stewardship transition expenses than planned, while funding is on target. We will review this financial position further in detail in the next slides, starting with funding. ICANN's funding results mainly from two drivers. First, the number of domain name annual registrations resulting in transaction fees, and second, the number of parties under contract with ICANN driving annual fixed fees collected from registries and registrars. All categories of funding are consistent with expectations at this stage of our fiscal year. Funding is higher than last year, mainly driven by the larger number of top-level domains in operations. We will now focus on our Q1 baseline expenses compared to the budget and to last year. Our main category of expenses is personnel costs on the left of this graph, representing about half of our total expenses. Personnel costs are below budget, mainly driven by an average headcount for the quarter of 337, lower than budget by 7%. Travel costs are expected to be also below budget, reflecting both fewer trips taken and lower costs per trip than anticipated. The spend in professional services, administration, and capital expenses all reflect various timing differences versus plan and net out below budget. This graph shows the estimated expenses for the INS Stewardship Transition Project for this quarter by main category of costs. The expenses of the past 3 months consisted primarily of personnel support and legal fees in support of the intensive implementation preparation, including the creation of the PTI entity and the drafting of several contracts. We will now review the financials of the new GTLD program for the quarter. Total expenses are below budget, mainly driven by a lower number of withdrawn applications than anticipated during the quarter. Other costs are consistent with budget. Let's now look at the status of the funds under our management. The ICANN Operations Funds Under Management, on the left, reflect an increase mainly due to the higher collections from the previous quarter's funding and seasonally lower expenses during the first quarter of the fiscal year. The reduction of the reserve fund during the quarter corresponds to the funding of the INS Stewardship Transition expenses incurred during the second half of FY16. The new GTLD program related funds on the right includes the new GTLD funds representing the unspent portion of application fees and the proceeds of auction. The new GTLD funds decreased as a result of the evaluation expenses incurred and the application withdrawals refunded. The auction proceeds increased as a result of the .web auction proceeds collected early August for $135 million. This concludes the financial overview for the quarter. More information is available in the appendix of this presentation and on our website. I will now hand it back to Brad, who will moderate the session on question and answers.
Thank you, Xavier. Let me again remind you that if you are online and you have a question, you can enter your question into the question box. If you're on the phone line, hit #3 and you can the conference operator will put you into the queue. The first question is for Adiel Akpologan. He is our Vice President of Technical Engagement. Will the ASO independent review be the subject of an ICANN request for proposal process? If so, when might it be advertised? This question is from Michelle Scott Tucker, the ACIG GAC Secretariat. Adiel?
Thank you, Brad. What I will say is that this process are managed directly by the ARR. There is the ISO review that is part of the overall ICANN organization review. And according to the bylaw, this process is delegated to the NRO, and the NRO run the whole process. Now, if you're talking about the IANA transition and the Internet Numbering Service Review Committee, that committee has already been put in place and will be reviewing the INA service performance annually and regularly. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ariel. We have several questions which have been submitted by a journalist, Nandita Singh, who's the editor of Voice and Data in Bangalore. The first question is for Joern Martmy, our president and CEO. Please elaborate on the model of Internet governance that ICANN is evolving towards and what the future of the Internet will be like and what is required from ICANN to build it.
Thank you very much for those questions. One thing I think is important to recognize is actually the new bylaws of ICANN, which in a way clears out what we're supposed to do and how to do the work in the future. When it gives us our merit and remit for working, which part of internet governance is actually working. And I think that this model where we talk about more of the technical how to run internet governance is going to be even more important. I think the new bylaws is helping us in that. When it comes to what the future of the internet would be like, I have to admit, if I knew that 10 years ago, maybe I would do something different, and I will have a problem of looking at the future of internet, because it actually belongs to the internet users of the world to make internet what they need. The ICANN community is really helping to support that, but the policies are made in the ICANN community how we will support it. I think it's important that we continue this dialogue going forward, how to address things that the internet users of the world would like. Thank you.
Thank you, Joran. And the next question is for you as well. Is there any real on-the-ground impact of ICANN moving out from under U.S. oversight?
As I said earlier on, nothing happened for the internet users when the oversight changed. And I think it's good to emphasize is that what happened with the transition is that ICANN has been doing what it's been doing for the last 18 years. And what really happened is that the oversight was moved from the U.S. government to the ICANN community, and with that, building in a lot of checks and balances and also transparency how we do things. So the work continues the same, but it's the oversight that's changed. And I think it's a remarkable thing and a very good thing that the community now runs this rather than the U.S. government.
Thank you, Joran. The next question is for Zhao Rung, who is our Vice President of Global Stakeholder Engagement and the Managing Director of our Asia-Pacific Hub in Singapore. In the current internet governance model at ICANN, what is the India, China, or overall APAC representation and role?
Thank you for the question. I'd like to highlight that, first of all, the current internet governance model at ICANN has always been and will be the bottom-up multi-stakeholder consensus-building model. So this is not expected to change. And in terms of the representation and participation of India and China and the Asia-Pacific, I had mentioned during my presentation that the overall trend has been increasing in terms of the participation from the regional community in ICANN, and this is very positive. Now, in terms of, there's definitely more that can be done. We are trying to work with the stakeholders on the ground to invite them to join the various stakeholder groups and constituencies within ICANN and to get more people to understand the multi-stakeholder model of consensus building and decision making within ICANN. There is a lot of barrier to entry because of the lack of understanding of this model and also the lack of understanding of these topics. So we're working very hard, as mentioned in my presentation, to come up with various engagement programs such as academies, workshops, and also, for example, the APEC space, to encourage our stakeholders to understand the ICANN issue and to also practice being able to raise and speak up for their communities and to raise their views. So these are areas that we're working on, and we hope to be able to reach out to more stakeholders and have them participate in ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Zhao Rung. The next two questions are for you as well. How are you engaging with the multiple stakeholders across the world? What kind of participation has India had in the recent past? And what shifts in participation is ICANN leadership expecting?
Thank you, and thank you for the question. I've mentioned a little bit about how we are working to engage the different stakeholders. A key area is really, first of all, is to raise awareness. So to get more stakeholders to understand and to know about ICANN topics and that it is important for different stakeholders to participate in them. The second is building sustainable relationships. So with India, for example, my colleague who is based in Delhi, Mr. Samaran Gupta. You might have heard of his name. He works very hard to maintain a very close relationship with different stakeholders in India. And from the region, we work very hard for them to try to facilitate for them to participate in the regional type of discussion, for example, the APEC space. The third area I'd like to talk about is how to increase participation. Where we are right now in terms of our relationship with stakeholders in India is very positive because we have passionate stakeholders in India who are very positive in trying to help us raise awareness about these issues and the need to participate in them. So the next challenge for us is really how can we bring these stakeholders on board and to get them to participate more actively and to join the various stakeholder groups and constituencies. One point I'd like to highlight is that the IANA stewardship transition has underscored the success of the multi-stakeholder model, and this, with India's support of the multi-stakeholder model, this further facilitates the potential for India to participate in ICANN and various multi-stakeholder platforms in the world. Now, perhaps I can pass over to David Olive, my colleague, who can share a little bit more about the second part of this question regarding what shift in participation is the ICANN leadership expecting.
Thank you, Jarong. This is David Olive. I would also add that in terms of India's participation, they've sent a delegation both at our meeting in Dublin as well as in Marrakesh, and this has been very helpful as they, of course, are actively involved in many of the supporting organizations or advisory committee work. In terms of shifts in participation, the ICANN leadership, as was pointed out by Jarong, because of the transition work and the focus of those activities as well as the accountability working groups, this has increased generally participation in many of the working groups of the policy development process. We see examples of it for the generic name supporting organization in some of the recent issues and policy work that they are doing. And so we do see that as our regional strategies mature, as the initial interests in the policy and advisory work of ICANN continue, that people from the regions, the APEC region, but also Europe, the Middle East, and Africa from Istanbul, where I sit, will be increasing as well, and we welcome their involvement and participation in the various working groups that we are working on, and they will be inputting as well in public comment processes as we see the regional newsletters highlighting these issues, and we see responses to those invitations to be involved. So I think it's increasing going forward, and we welcome the greater participation of all. Thank you.
Thank you, David. We're running a little bit over. It's now past the hour, but we've got three more questions, so we're going to deal with those, and then we're going to cut the queue. If you have any questions that were not answered, again, please email them to engagement@icann.org. Again, that's engagement@icann.org. And now we'll go to these final three questions. Jarong, this one is again to you. Can you give us an update to the GTLD program in India?
Thank you. Thank you for the question, and I'll keep it short. The first, the current round of the new GTLD program, I mentioned that 177 new GTLDs have been delegated in the region. Within this 177, 13 are from India. The total applications of new GTLDs from India are 15, and this means that only two strings are left to transition to delegation, and they are expected to be done very soon. Now, it is still early days in terms of the actual use and domain name registrations under these new GTLDs, but we are very positive about the prospects going forward, especially because India is such a growing, especially under its Digital India strategy. So we look forward to how this will roll out going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Zhao Rong. The next question is going to go to Nick Tommaso, who is on the line. He is our Vice President of Meetings. The questioner is saying, I see you chose Hyderabad for the ICANN 57 conference. Great choice. How did you arrive at that location? What's the process there? Nick?
Well, thank you for the question. The November 2016 meeting was originally scheduled to be held in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And as Bruce Tonkin mentioned earlier in this call, at times we find ourselves in the position of needing to move an ICANN meeting due to conditions in the scheduled location. That was the case in San Juan due to the spread of the Zika virus on the island and in the region. We were searching for a new meeting location, and we offered the Indian government the opportunity to host us. They graciously accepted, and we'll be at the Hyderabad International Convention Center, which is an excellent facility for a conference of the size and complexity of ours. And we look forward to being there in a bit over 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Our final question for Joern Marby, our President and CEO, this is from Peter Green. When will the Empowered Community Administration be positioned?
Thank you. This is actually a fairly short answer because the Empowered Community Administration appointments have been made by the community, and we will be providing a more formal update about this very shortly. And the Empowered Community Administration will be meeting soon, and there will be a website with more information coming. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joern. So with that, we're going to bring this call to a close. Again, if there are other questions that may have sprung up from some of these answers or the earlier presentations, please email them to engagement@icann.org. I'd like to thank the presenters as well as all the participants. Thank you very much. I hope you have a good evening, good morning, good day, wherever you're located.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference for today. Thank you for participating, and you may now all disconnect.